الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue reading in the chapter باب ما نهي عنه من البيوع. The chapter with regards to that which is prohibited from the different types of business transactions. We have read the first narration that the author he mentioned, and we continue reading with the second narration. He says, رحمه الله تعالى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. He mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. That the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا تلقوا الركبان ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض ولا تناجشوا ولا يبيع حاضر لباد ولا تصروا الغنم ولا تصروا الغنم ومن ابتاعها فهو بخير النظرين بعد أن يحلبها إن رضيها أمسكها وإن سخطها ردها والصاع من تمر. The author says, وفي لفظ وهو بالخيار ثلاثة وهو بالخيار ثلاثة. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade a number of different transactions. In this narration, there's the mention of five different prohibited transactions. The first one, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تلقوا الركبان, لا تلقوا الركبان, do not go out and meet the caravans, any of the caravans that are on their way to the market from the outskirts and of the villages, or from out of town. Do not go outside of the markets into the outskirts of the town to meet the caravans, any meaning in order to purchase from them before they bring their goods into the market. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ, and that you should not sell on top of each other. You should not sell one against the other, and you should not make a transaction trying to overbid over one over the other, or one over the other. وَلَا تَنَاجَشُوا, and do not make a najish, any meaning do not seek to raise the price of an item that you do not intend to buy. وَلَا يَبِعْ حَاضِرٌ لِبَادٍ, and the one who is a resident, he should not sell on behalf of the desert Arab, the one who lives out of town. وَلَا تُصَرُّ الْغَنَمِ, and do not make a tasriya with the ghanam. Do not make a tasriya with the sheep and the likes of the cattle. Meaning, do not leave them unmilked and let the milk gather in their udders. And let the milk gather in their udders in whenever one is intending to sell them, to make it appear as if the animal is full of milk and beneficial, when in reality it is not. وَمَنْ إِبْتَاعَهَا فَهُوَ بِخَيْرِ النَّظَرَيْنِ, and whoever purchases the animal, meaning the one that has the milk, has been saved inside of the udder, kept inside of the udder, making it appear that it's healthy and full of milk, then he has the best of two choices. بَعْدَ أَنْ يَحْلُوبَهَا, after he has milked it, any meaning after he milked it and realized that the animal is not carrying a lot of milk, rather it was made to appear that way. إِنْ رَضِيَهَا أَمْسَكَهَا, if he likes, he can keep the animal. وَإِنْ سَخِطَهَا رَدَّهَا وَصَاعٍ مِنْ تَمْرٍ, and if he dislikes and he does not want to keep the animal, he can return it. And along with that, a sa' from dates. So here in this narration, there are five different transactions that are forbidden. We take them one at a time. The first one is the issue of تَلَقِي الرُّكْبَانِ. تَلَقِي الرُّكْبَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَلَقَّوْا الرُّكْبَانِ. Do not go out to meet the caravans, meaning the caravans that are coming from outside of town, the caravans that are bringing goods from the desert and from other areas and the likes like this from outside of town. Do not go outside of the markets and to meet them on the pathway, to catch them before they make it to the markets and try to make a deal with them and purchase their goods before they reach the market. So here the issue is the prohibition. النهي عن تلقي الركبان. الركبان is the plural of راكب. Ar-Rukban is the plural of Rakib, meaning the one who is a rider. Many times what is intended, those who are riding on animals, riding on camels and the likes like this, and they're riding in a caravan. But it's not specific to those who are riding, rather even if they came walking on their feet. It's all forbidden. So what is intended here, لا تلقوا الركبان أي لا تلقوا القادمين من السفر بالسلع لبيعها في الأسواق بسعر يومها بسعر يومها. You need those people who are coming in caravans from out of town with goods to sell, and they're traveling, and they intend to sell their goods for the in the markets. They intend to sell their goods in the markets for the price of the day, any for the price of the day, for the market price of that day. Do not go out and meet them before they make it to the markets. Any meaning that you have to leave them alone and let them come into the markets and make efforts to sell themselves. Do not go out there and to meet them. So, تلقي القادمين هو تلقيهم هو الخروج إلى خارج السوق ليشتري بأرخص بعد أن علم أسعار السوق. So the people of the town, they will go out. They will know the prices in the markets, and they will go out of the markets and meet the caravans before they reach them, before they reach the markets. And they will try to bargain with them and deal with them. And many times they will trick them, and they will get under market price. And then they will bring those items and raise them in the market and raise them in the market. So this is forbidden. So this is forbidden. The people of knowledge, the majority of them, consider this prohibition to be haram, meaning it's not allowed. Meaning it is not allowed, it's not permissible, it's not lawful. And the wisdom behind that is in order to look out for the best interests and the rights of those who are coming with the items from out of town. And likewise to look out for the best interests and the rights of those businessmen in the market, that their rights are observed. So the one who is coming from out of town, if he's not aware of the prices in the market, he's not aware of the situation of business, so on and so forth, then he could easily be taken advantage of. He could easily be taken advantage of. Maybe someone will buy it or purchase it from him for a lesser value and the likes like this, or even tell him one thing and in reality it's another, just to get the items and have the man leave. And many times the likes of these individuals who are coming from out of town, they're coming to sell and to leave. They're coming to sell and to leave. So they will be harmed in this manner by individuals who know the prices of the market to go out and catch them on their way and take advantage of them before they come to the market to sell their goods that they had worked hard for and that they had been diligent to earn or to collect, whether it's from food or from animals or the likes. Maybe they're farmers, or maybe they have animals, or maybe they have clothing that they have sewn and they have come with in the likes like this that they have worked hard to obtain and to collect, and they made great efforts traveling this distance, and then before they make it to the market, someone will come out and take advantage of them. So this is forbidden for this reason. This is forbidden for this reason. And likewise, because of the people in the market. Any of those in the market, they have a right to benefit from the people coming from out of town. So in order to prohibit one of them from going and taking advantage of the situation and monopolizing on the ignorance of the people coming from out of town and the likes, or to take advantage of them and then to come back to the market and raise it on the people, or to hold the items and wait for the prices to raise in the market and the likes like this, this is harmful for the market and for the people and the market. This is harmful for the market and for the businessmen and the market. So for this reason, it's forbidden and prohibited. Yani observing the right of the one who is coming in town with the caravan, those who are selling the goods, and likewise observing the rights of the businessmen and the people in the market. The rights of the businessmen and the people and the market. So again, the majority of the people of knowledge, they find this transaction to be considered haram. It's forbidden. It's forbidden. But their evidence is indicating that if it occurred, the contract is considered correct. But the person who had done that is sinning. Is sinning. But if it occurred, the contract is correct. And the one who was taken advantage of, he has the right. He has the right. He has a choice now. He has a choice now whether he wants to continue that contract or the business that he had done with the individual who had met him outside of the market or outside of town. This is the case if he comes to the market. If he makes it to the market and finds out he was taken advantage of, or he feels like he was done wrong, then he has the right to nullify the previous contract that was performed in that manner that's forbidden, and to go back on that and to cancel. And has been connected by Imam Muslim also from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تلقوا الجلب. لا تلقوا Al-Jalib. Do not go out and meet the Jalib. Yani the Jalib is the people who are bringing items from out of town. Yani meaning the Rukban, meaning the caravan and the people who are coming out of town, traveling, bringing goods to sell and the market for the price of the day. For the price of the day. لا تلقوا الجلب. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَمَنْ تَلَقَاهُ فَاشْتَرَى مِنْهُ فِذَا أَتَى سَيِّدُهُ السُّوقُ فَهُوَ بِالْخِيَارُ فَهُوَ بِالْخِيَارُ. So if somebody goes out and meets him, and meets him, yani the one who's coming in from the caravan or from out of town and the likes like this, and purchases from him, if the owner of those goods makes it to the market, then he has the option. Then he has the option. And meaning if somebody actually came out of town and met him before he made it to the market and made a deal with him, and then that person, he went with that deal, if he continues and comes to the market, then now he has the option, especially if he finds that he was taken advantage of. He has the option to tell that person that the contract is invalid and that he gives the money back and he wants his items back. And the khiyar here is called khiyar al-ghabn. Khiyar al-ghabn. We have taken a number of these affairs in our previous classes, in our introductory classes. We have seen khiyar al-majlis, and that was the first narration of the chapter. And likewise here, the khiyar that he's given, the option to cancel or nullify the contract, this one is called khiyar al-ghabn. Yani whenever a person is taken advantage of. Whenever a person is taken advantage of. So maybe somebody will go out and meet him before he makes it to the market, before he realizes the prices of the market, before he realizes the circumstances of the people in the market, so on and so forth, and take advantage of him, lie to him or deceive him and trick him and get it for under market price and the likes like this. So if this happened and that man, he came to the market and he found out أنه قد غبن, that he was taken advantage of and the likes like this, فهو بالخيار. He has the option. He has the option. The option here again is called خيار الغبن. خيار الغبن. We discussed this in our previous classes again, and this is from the evidences of this particular type of خيار. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the individual, he has the option. If he wants to continue with the contract, he can leave it and continue. And if he likes to nullify, he has that right. This is an indication that initially the contract is still valid. It's still valid. Because had it not been valid, then there would not have been an option to continue or to cancel. To continue or to cancel. So the one who did this, while knowing, he's considered sinning, falling into that which is forbidden. Although the contract is valid, but the person, if he's taken advantage of, even some of the people I've not as mentioned in any case, if he comes to the market, he has the right to cancel. He has the right to cancel. He has the right to cancel, and Allah knows best. So from the benefits of this portion of the narration, or this ruling here, from the benefits of this ruling here, is that the legislation shows great concern for the masalih, al-masalih al-amma, the general benefit and interest of the society. The general benefit and interest of the society, and that the legislation shows preference to the general interest and benefit over the specific and personal interest and benefit. So no doubt it will be beneficial for one individual if he goes out from the market and even if he didn't necessarily take advantage of the individual, but he purchased those items before anybody got to find out about them, and now he can hold on to them and the likes, and he can wait for the prices to raise, and he could take it, and then he could benefit in this manner. But this will harm the people in the market. But this will harm the people and the market. So this is the reason. And it's in the best interest of the individual selling the item, and likewise in the best interest of the people and the market in general. So the legislation observes these affairs in general, and there's a precedence given to the masalih al-amma over al-masalih al-khasa. Yani the general interest of the society is shown preference to over the specific interest of individuals. So this is a benefit derived from this portion of the narration. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْءِ بَعْضٍ, and that you must not make contracts over one another. You must not make contracts over one another. What is intended here? لَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْءِ بَعْضٍ. الْبَيْءُ عَلَى الْبَيْءِ. Whenever a person, he's selling something, and then the customer, he agrees, and they make the contract, and now they have the option to cancel or not. They have the option to cancel or not. And then another person, he will come along and say, oh, you paid 100 for it, I can give it to you for 75. I can give it to you for 75. Thus encouraging that person to go back and nullify the initial contract and go to him and to buy from him. So after the contract has been established and they're in the khiyar al-majlis, this is forbidden. Or if the contract is established and they're in khiyar al-shart, likewise, in the option, either because of the option, the initial option that they have in the contract until they separate, or if they have a condition in their contract that they have a certain period and the likes like this to return the item, in this period here, it's not allowed. In this period here, it's not allowed. And this is because of what it causes from animosity and rancor and riling up the hearts against each other. And if a person, for example, he's selling an item for 100 and then he made the deal, and then after that somebody comes along and he says, oh man, I got the same thing for 75. Or I can give you better than that. I can give you better than that for 75. Like this, for example. Then now it's going to rile up his heart for that person. Now he's going to have enmity for that person and hatred for that person. Oh, he took advantage of me. 100, I paid 100 for it. How could he do that? It's only 75 and it's even better and the likes like this. And then if he goes and nullifies, then now also it's going to have another problem between him and the other individual, causing animosity and hatred and rancor to be in the hearts of the people. So therefore, it's forbidden. And he's selling on top of another sale, and likewise buying on top of another's purchase. For example, if one is going to buy something, maybe he's paying, for example, 100 for it. Somebody will come and say, I'll give you 120 for it. And he really wants it real bad. So he's saying, I'm giving you 100 for it, and they agreed. And he says, okay, here's the 100. And now he says, oh, come on, somebody comes, I'll give you 120 for it. I'll give you more for it. So he's going to cancel the initial contract that he had with that other person and then take the 120 from this individual here. So all of this is considered forbidden. The people of knowledge, as I mentioned here, not only any of these two affairs, in the narration, this mission, do not sell over another sale. And this is from the buyer, but also the purchaser as well. Also, if there is any other contracts that are similar like this, and some wordings of this narration has come, this issue here has come coupled, وَلَا يَخْطِبْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَىٰ خِطْبَةِ بَعْضٍ وَلَا يَخْطِبُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ, that one of you should not propose to the woman that his brother proposed to. So if there's a man who's proposing to a woman, it's not allowed for another man to come in and propose on top of him, and while he's in the process. So it's from the same aspect here. Likewise, if they're doing renting, if there's renting, all of this is included in the same thing. And if somebody is going to rent something, and if somebody will come and try to outdo that one, I'll pay you more for it, or I have a better spot for it, and the likes like this. After the initial contract has already been established, and they're in the period where there's an option, either the option because of the initial contract, khiyar al-majlis, or an option that they had made as a condition, khiyar, a shart. If it's in this period, this is not allowed. This is not allowed because it's harmful. It's harmful to the individual, and likewise because of the instigation that it causes and the animosity and the hatred. As for if this occurs before the initial contract is established, then it's allowed. This is permissible. And there are even types of dealings that This is the initial manner of buying and selling, and it's called the suq man yazid, suqu man yazid, or al mazayada, any meaning like an auction. Well, somebody will have an item for sale, and people will take bids. So, in the likes of this circumstance, this is allowed, because so long as somebody didn't make initial contract. So, if they're in the process, somebody is like, I have a car, for example, 5,000. And they're together in the garden. Somebody's like, well, I'll give you 5,500 for it. I'll give you 5,500 for it. He said, okay. Then he's, no, I'll give you 56 for it. This is okay. So long as they're in the process here of what they call wheeling and dealing, right? They're going back and forth. They're compromising, huh? Bidding. They're bidding their options and likes like that. Zakallahu khairan. He's mentioning one and another mentions another. So this is lawful. This is permissible. There's narrations when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's something for sale, and somebody he offered a price, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Well, man yazid, who will give more? Like this." And so when it's in the process of bidding and the likes like this, it's okay. But if they agree on a particular price with one of them, now after that, it's not allowed. So for example, if there's an auction, if somebody says, The car is going for 5,000. Somebody says, I got 5,100. Another one, he says, I got 53. Then a person, he says, I got 55. Sold. Now, it's finished. Now it's finished. Now the contract is done. You can't add at this time. You can't add at this time. So the again, al-bay ala al-bay, yani is also included as shira ala shira, or ijara ala ijara. Even also in like occupations, if somebody is given a position, for example, like the imam, or another position, whether in the deen or in the dunya, and he's qualified for that position, it's not allowed for somebody to come undermine him and try to take his spot. All of this is going to cause rancor and hatred. All of this is from a similar aspect. If somebody is proposing for marriage, it's not allowed to come and undermine him in his marriage and try to go around him and propose at the same time. But if he's proposing for marriage, and then after that proposal, nothing happens, they don't advance after that, then it's wide open for him. Or if he leaves, or he proposes, and then they find out that they're not interested, and the likes like this, or she doesn't accept, and the likes like that, then after that, it's okay. But so long as if he proposes, and then after that, they continue, now it's not allowed. Just like if he's buying, and they go through the contract, after that, it's not allowed. Or if he's selling, after that, it's not allowed. Or if he's renting, after that, it's not allowed. So on and so forth. So all of this here is in observing the rights of others, and in forbidding harm. Forbidding harming each other and individuals, and likewise preventing animosity and hatred from falling in the hearts, thus having separation and dissension in the ranks. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wala tanajashu, and do not make a najish. You can say a najish with a fatha on the noon and the jim, or you can say a najish with the sukoon on the jim. It's the same meaning in the Arabic language. It means you say najasha as-sayd, najshan or najashan, yani meaning that he riled it up. So a najis is al-ithara or istithara, to rile something up. So the one who's hunting is called the najis, because he's going to rile up the game to come out of hiding so that he can hunt it. So this is the meaning of najish. So what is intended here in business, istithara, yani is al-istithara, to rile up the people to raise the price. So what is intended legislatively, huwa an-najish huwa an yazida fi thamar as-sil'a man la yuridu shira'aha. An yazida fi thamar as-sil'a man la yuridu shira'aha. That a person, he would up the price, and he doesn't want to buy it. Somebody who will offer a higher price over somebody else, and he doesn't want to buy it. What does he want to do? He wants to harm somebody. He either wants to harm the seller, or he wants to help the buyer, or he wants to increase the price of the item so that it will be higher in the market, and the likes like this. So that the item will circulate at a higher price. All of this is forbidden. He has these intentions. Either he's in cahoots, working with the buyer, and they're working together to raise the price. So somebody, he'll want to buy it, for example, and then somebody will come along and say, he'll say, I'll pay you 100 for it. He'll say, oh, I'll pay you 110 for it. Like this, trying to get the price up. He doesn't want to buy it. The one who says, I'll pay you 110 for it, he doesn't want to buy it in the first place. He's just saying that to rile up the people to pay more, to make it seem like this item is very nice and very good, and he's ready to pay more for it, and to others, they will also desire it, and they'll also pay more for it in order to get more money for the item. So this is forbidden. So one, either he's going to do it to benefit the seller, or to harm the buyer, or because he wants to raise the price on the item in the first place. Maybe he has a lot of that item, and he's trying to get the price higher so that he can sell it for a higher price, so that the market value will go up, so on and so forth. All of this is forbidden and not allowed. All of this is forbidden and not allowed. Many times it happens in the likes of the Souq Man Yazid, and in the market of the, and the auctions and the likes like this. They'll cooperate together, and individuals, they will bid with high prices or continue to raise the price, but they don't intend to buy. They only intend to get the price higher for whatever reason may be. So if they're cooperating with the seller, then they're both sinful. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And if he is doing it by himself, then he himself is sinful. than he himself is sinful. And this is considered lying and trickery and deception. For this reason, this is forbidden. For this reason, it is forbidden and not allowed. Some of the people of knowledge have considered it likewise the same thing, a najish, that the buyer himself, he will say, oh, I paid this much and this much for it. Oh, this item here, I paid this much and this much for it. And he's lying. And he's to get the price up. Or he will say, oh, somebody just offered me such and such for it. Somebody say, I'll give you this. Oh, no. Somebody just came in here earlier and they offered such and such for it. This price is going for much. And he's lying. So this is still considered a type of najis. So this is not allowed. So the issue of a najis here, raising the price. Yani when a person who does not intend to buy it, this is considered disobedient. This is considered ma'asiyah. Yani the one who does that, he's sinning. The one who performs it, he's sinning. And also the people of knowledge as well, they mentioned that if this occurred and a person, he finds out about that, he was taken advantage and that they had done this against him and this particular buy, then he has the option. He has the khiyar. And here the khiyar is khiyar al-ghabn. Khiyar al-ghabn. Huh?
If he's oppressed, basically oppressed.
Yes, if he was taken advantage of. He has khiyar al-ghabn. Khiyar al-ghabn. And this one is in qiyas. And there's no clear evidence for this one, but they mentioned the khiyar here is similar like the other affairs that have preceded. The other affairs that have preceded. Any of the rukban, so on and so forth. Yani they have the same similar rulings and similar wisdom behind the legislation. So here this is trickery and deception. This is forbidden. We have seen that. Al-khadi'a wa al-taghrir. So the three main principles that the forbidden transactions revolve around, they go back. Number one was al-riba. And number two was jahala wa al-gharar. And number three was al-khida' wa al-taghrir. والتغرير, yani trickery and deception, misleading the people. So here this contains trickery and deception, misleading the people. So therefore it's forbidden and not allowed. Observing the rights of the people. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, وَلَا يَبِعْ حَاضِرٌ لِبَادٍ وَلَا يَبِعْ حَاضِرٌ لِبَادٍ. And the resident should not sell for the desert one, the bad, yani the one that lives in the bad, yeah. But what is intended, yani the one who's coming from out of town. The one who is coming from out of town. Bay al-hadir lil-bad. Yani al-badi aladhi yaskunu fil-badi. Wal-hadir aladhi yaskunu fil-madina. The hadir is the one who lives in the city. And al-badi, he's the one who lives in the badia. The badia, yani in the outside of town, in the outskirts, in the desert and the likes like this, or also considered in the countryside. Any the one who's coming from out of town, the one who's coming from out of town. So it's also been collected by the Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yabi' hadirun libad." La yabi' hadirun libad. That the resident should not sell for the bad. Any the one who lives in the desert. Any out of town in the countryside and the likes like this. دَعُوا النَّاسَ يَرْزُقُ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Leave the people, let Allah provide them one from the other. Leave the people, let Allah provide them one from the other. So this is from the wisdom of that. And the one who lives in the outskirts, he lives out of town. He lives in the countryside, for example, or in the desert, so on and so forth. Many times they come, they'll have items that they have made or they have collected, so on and so forth, or they have farmed, and they intend to come to sell them and go back. The people who live in the country and live in the desert and the likes like this, they don't stay in the city. They come for their needs and then they leave and they go home. So they're coming to sell their items for the market price of that day. So again, this is not allowed because the person who lives in the city, he's going to take advantage of the situation. He's going to harm the people in the markets. So the one who is coming with the items from out of town, he's going to come to the market, he's going to sell it for market price, and many times he might be in a hurry. So the people in the market might be able to make some good deals with him and benefit. And the person who's coming out of town himself, he will benefit. And likewise, those who are in the market, they will be able to benefit. But if a person is selling for him, yani maybe he'll take advantage of them, or he will monopolize on him and he'll save the items and to sell them at a higher price, so on and so forth. So here, the narration of Jabir clarifies the wisdom. Da'u an-nas yarzuqullahu ba'dahum min ba'd. Leave the people, let Allah provide for them one from the other. And he let Allah provide for them by way of them doing business with each other. So here again, it's in the best interest of the one coming from out of town, and likewise of those who are in the market, to be able to benefit from each other. And if one of them from the market were to take advantage of the situation, then now that benefit will be ruined and lost. Again, this is another example of showing preference to the best interest of the society over the best interest of specific individuals. So some of the people of knowledge mentioned conditions with regards to this and the likes, like if a person, the one who is living in the outskirts, in the villages, in the desert or in the country, and the likes like this, then he's coming with the intention to sell his items that day for the price of the day. And he's someone who does not know the market prices. Likewise, and that the one who lives in the city, who is a resident, he goes to him. As for if this person, he came out of town and he asked the people in the markets, one of them, to help him, then this is allowed. And also the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is forbidden in the case of items that are a need or a necessity for the people to have. That it's not allowed to monopolize on these things that are considered necessities. That the person, he will hold on to all of them and wait for the prices to raise whenever the people are in need of them. It's called al-ihtikar. And there are rulings with regards to that. Inshallah, we discuss them in classes to come. So after this, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa la tusarru al-ghanam. At-tasriyatul-ghanam. This is whenever they'll leave the sheep or other animals that have milk, like cows or camels, they'll leave it unmilked. Or even sometimes it's mentioned that they'll tie the udder until the milk will gather. And then the animal will look fat and that is like it's full of milk. So the one who sees it, will be attracted to it. And he want to purchase it, believing that it's a milk-producing animal, that it's a good, healthy milk-producing animal. But the reality is not that. Rather, the milk has just been left to gather in the animal over a few days before it's brought for sale. So the person, he will buy it, and then the first day maybe he will milk it, and there will be a lot of milk. And then the second day he will milk it, and there will be less. Third day, fourth day, eventually he's going to find out that milk was saved in the udder and the animal was not healthy, or it's not producing milk in the manner that they thought. So they had been taken advantage of and they were deceived. So this is the prohibition. La tusarru al-ghanam. And you do not let the milk gather in the animals whenever they're presented for sale. Or they just treat the affair normally, so that the animal will appear properly and correctly, just as it is if it's for sale. It will not appear to be full of milk and producing milk in a good manner whenever that's not the reality. So this is forbidden. This is forbidden and not allowed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ ابْتَاعَهَا فَهُوَ بِخَيْرٍ نَظَرَيْنِ. The one who bought it, then he has the best of two options, and he has the choice. بعد أن يحلوبها, after he milks it. So if he buys it, and he based upon what he thought, and then he milks it, and then he finds out after milking it that it's not as he had thought, and that he had been deceived. The milk was kept in the udder and the likes like this to make it seem like it was fat and healthy and milk producing, but that's not the reality. Then he has the option after he finds out. إن رضيها أمسكها. If he likes, he can keep it. When سَخِطَهَا رَدَّهَا وَصَائِمٍ تَمْرٍ. And if he does not like it, he can give it back. And along with that, he will give back a sa' from tamr, a sa' from dates. A sa' is arba'atu amdad. The mud is the two handfuls of a modern-sized man. The hands of a moderate-sized man. Like this, when you put your hands together, a moderate-sized man, he puts his hands together like this, he fills them up. This is called a mud. So four of them is a sa'. And you, this is the price to pay, a sa' of dates. And this is for the initial milk that was in the udder at the time of purchase. So it has been also collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, another narration about this affair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ ابْتَأَ شَاتًا مُصَرَّاتٍ فَهُوَ بِالْخِيَارِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ إِنْ شَاءَ أَمْسَكَهَا وَإِنْ شَاءَ رَدَّهَا وَرَدَّ مَعَهَا صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرٍ. Then whoever purchased the shat, whoever purchased the sheep, that's musarrat, and the sheep that the milk has been kept inside of it in this manner, then he has a choice for 3 days. Then he has the option for 3 days. If he likes, he can keep it. And if he likes, he'll give it back. And the sa' of dates. So this is the case with regards to the sheep, likewise to the camel, also to the cows and the animals like this. And it has also been narrated as well, a wording in Bukhari. Actually, Bukhari, he has in his authentic collection a chapter. It says, بَابُ النَّهِي لِلْبَاعِ أَلَّا يُحَفِّلَ الْإِبْلِ وَالْبَقَرِ وَالْغَنَمِ وَكُلَّ مُحَفَّلَ. It says the chapter that is prohibited for the seller to keep the milk in the camels and in the cows and in the sheep and goats. And every animal that has milk. And then he mentioned this chain with a narration to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this wording it says, لَا تُصَرُّ الْإِبْلَ وَالْغَنَمِ. لَا تُصَرُّ الْإِبْلَ وَالْغَنَمِ. And so there's an additional wording here. Do not make the tasriya of the camels nor the sheep. The ghanam is the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats. So here also is the mention of the camels. So Bukhari, he mentioned this narration to indicate the ruling that he's deriving, the prohibition for not only camels and goats, but likewise cows and every other animal that has milk likewise. So they're all included because the ruling is the same. They're all included because the ruling is the same. This was done to somebody, he found out later, then he has the khiyar. Which khiyar is this? It's another one. We talked about khiyar al-majlis. We talked about khiyar al-ghaban. This one is another one. At-tadlis. Khiyar at-tadlis. Yani dallasa alayhi. He made it appear to him. He made him think that the sheep has lots of milk. But it doesn't have lots of milk. This is called deception. That's called tadlis. So the khiyar here is because of a tadlis. Why does he have the option? Because of tadlis. Dallasa alayhi ba'a. Yani whenever a person, he makes something appear to be what it's not, in order to get over on somebody, then this is called tadlis. He'll make him think that the item is brand new. It's not brand new. He'll make it think that it's an authentic official item and it's a knockoff brand, for example. This is called tadlis, right? He'll make it appear as if it's brand new, but it's not brand new. It's right out of the box. It's not right out of the box. It's old, for example, or it's refurbished, for example, so on and so forth. Whenever a person uses deception to trick the person to think that the item is something that it's not, this is called tadlis. So the khiyar here is called khiyar tadlis. So we had taken a number of the issues, khiyar al-majlis, khiyar al-shart. These two came in the first narration, khiyar al-ghabn, khiyar al-tadlis. These are some of the evidences for these affairs. So there are the fundamentals here. This is the point. And you have the chapter, Umdah al-Ahkam. So therefore, these establish these type of options that people have. So any other business transaction that went down in a similar manner, or a person he was taken advantage of, or a person he was deceived and tricked, and the likes like this, then he has the option. And these are from the evidences of that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he has the option for 3 days. بَعْدَ أَنْ يَحْلُوبَهَا. After he milks it. So after he milks it, then once he finds out that the animal was not as he thought and he was deceived, from that period, he has 3 days. If he likes, he can return it. But if he decides to return it, he must return along with it one saw of dates, regardless of how much milk came out. And the saw of dates is in return for the initial milk that was in the animal at the time of purchase. As for the milk that he obtained after the time of purchase, and maybe the milk that was produced later after the time of purchase, then this is his, and it's his right.
And it's his right. He doesn't have to pay for that. He doesn't have to pay for that. So for the saw of dates, he's returning that to recompense the milk that he took that was in the animal at the time of purchase. You understand that? The milk that he took from the animal at the time of purchase, however much it was. However much it was. So this issue here is set like this in this ruling, and it's not left to people to decide, oh, it was this much milk or that much milk or so on and so forth, so that there's argues and disputes. Whatever the case is, the way to return it is with a saw of dates. So this here is a ruling that silences both parties, and it severs all disputes. There's nothing to dispute about. So regardless of the situation, he took advantage of him, you give him the animal back, and you give him a saw of dates. And you give him a saw of dates. And the dispute is finished. As for the milk that he obtained later after that, maybe he didn't find out for 3 or 4 days. And then he waited 3 days, and on the third day he decided to return it. That's lawful for him. So maybe there was some milk that he benefited from that was produced in that period. So that's his right. He doesn't have to pay for that. He doesn't have to pay for that, because there's another principle. And a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned al-kharaj bil-daman. Al-kharaj bil-daman. Any meaning that al-fa'ida bi-muqabil al-ghurm. Any meaning, for example, the person who purchased the animal and it was musarrat. And then he's in the process thinking he's going to give it back. Before he can give it back, somebody stole it. Before he can give it back, somebody stole it. Who loses here?
The seller, right?
No, who loses here? The owner, he lost that. He lost that. Somebody stole it, so now he can't give it back. It's stolen. Or for example, if something happened and the wolf got it, for example, and he before he can give it back, he's gonna give it back. He's for example on the way to give it back, and the wolf got it, or somebody stole it, or it got lost, or it died. For example, something happened to it. Who's going to pay for that? The owner. So therefore, since he is the one who pays for the loss, then likewise he has the right for the benefit. So once it comes in his possession, any benefit that he gets from that is his, and he keeps it. He doesn't have to return it. So the milk that comes after he owns it, that's his milk. He doesn't have to give that back. The saw that he's returning of dates is for the initial milk that was in the animal at the time of purchase. As for the milk that came later, that's his right to benefit from, just like it's upon him if something happened to the animal. If somebody purchased a vehicle, and he has the khiyar, and come to find out there was something wrong with the vehicle. So in the period of purchasing the vehicle, if something happened to it before returning it, who is it on? If somebody stole the vehicle, for example, it's on the owner, not upon the seller. You understand? If the owner he drove some people around for Uber and made money, who's the money for? For the owner. So he doesn't have to return that. If he returned the car and returned the money he made from Uber, likewise, that's his money. So this is a narration here, which is a principle. The people of knowledge have mentioned this from the Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya, al-Kharaju bil-Daman. Al-Kharaju bil-Daman. Yani al-Ribhu muqabil al-Daman. Aw al-Fa'ida muqabil al-Ghurm. Yani meaning that the Prophet is because a person, he's guaranteeing. He has the guarantee. And if something happens, he's the one who's responsible. So again, the example to understand, if a person purchased a vehicle, and once he purchases a vehicle, it becomes his property now. So if something happens to it, he's liable. If he wrecks the vehicle, who has to pay for that? He does. If the vehicle's stolen, who loses out on that? He does. So if something happens to the vehicle, he's the one who's liable. Right? Because now he owns it. So likewise, since this is the case, also, if he has any benefit from the vehicle, it's his as well. If he, for example, he rents the vehicle to somebody and makes some money, that money is his. Or if he drives people around, for example, like a taxi, the money that he makes is his. Is his. So, and this is in place of if something happened to it, he's liable. So likewise, if there's any benefit, it's his. It's his. So now that benefit that he had, if now he finds out that there's a defect because of the seller, or there's something now that he can return it, or he's still in a period where he can return it, he will return the vehicle, but he doesn't have to return the money that he made while he had the vehicle. You understand that? This is the point. Al-Kharaj bil-Dhamain. Al-Kharaj bil-Dhamain. So the money that he made while he had the vehicle is still his. But if come to find out there's a major transmission problem, that's in violation of the contract. That's in violation of the contract. He can return the vehicle and get his money back. And he does not have to give any money that he made while, or any other benefits that he had while he had the vehicle. Because had something happened to the vehicle other than that which is in violation of the contract, for example, it was stolen, then he's going to be the one who pays for that. He's going to be the one who pays for that. So this is the issue of kharaj bil-dhamain. This is a great principle in the chapter of buying and selling. And this is the issue here. So the one who bought an animal and the milk was kept in the udder to make it appear as if it's fat and healthy and full, and it's a milk-producing animal, if he purchases that and then after he milks it, he finds out that that's not the case and they deceived him, now he has the right to return it. If he returns it, he will return along with that a saw of dates. The saw of dates is in place of the initial milk that was in the animal in the first place whenever he bought it, that was sold along with the animal. As for after that milk is gone, any other milk that he got from that or any other benefit that he got from the animal likewise, then he does not have to return that. And he does not have to return that. Why not? Because al-kharaju bil-dhamain. Al-kharaju bil-dhamain. After this, the author, he mentions another narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah with the mention of another type of buying and selling from the transactions of the days of al-jahiliyyah, from the days of al-jahiliyyah. The narration here is known as bay' habal al-habala, bay'u habal al-habala, and he's selling the baby animal inside the womb of the animal, or the baby animal of the baby inside the womb of the animal. And it's been interpreted to mean both ways. We discuss this in our next class, inshallah. There's details. And so bay al-habala, al-habala. Al-habala is the baby animal inside of the animal. It's the baby animal inside of the animal. Or they will say rather it's the baby that's inside of the animal whenever that is born and then becomes old and then has babies, that baby. So they will say, for example, I will sell you such and such, and you pay, but you pay me whenever the baby of the baby is born. Whenever that's going to be. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.